Pull up a chair, Yarber said, and the kid grabbed the nearest one and placed it in front of their table. Even Spicer felt a little sympathy for him. What's your name? Yarber asked. I go by Busta. Okay, Buster. What did you do to get yourself 48 years? The story came in torrents. Balancing his box on his knees and staring at the floor, he began by saying he'd never been in trouble with the law, nor had his father. They owned a small boat dock together in Pensacola. They fished and sailed and loved the sea, and running the dock was the perfect life for them. They sold a used fishing boat, a 50-footer, to a man from Fort Lauderdale, an American who paid them in cash, $95,000. The money went in the bank, or at least Buster thought it did. A few months later, the man was back for another boat, a 38-footer for which he paid $80,000. Cash for boats was not unusual in Florida. A third and fourth boat followed. Buster and his dad knew where to find good used fishing boats, which they overhauled and renovated. They enjoyed doing the work themselves. After the fifth boat, the narcs came calling. They asked questions, made vague threats, wanted to see the books and records. Buster's dad refused initially. Then they hired a lawyer who advised them not to cooperate. Nothing happened for months. Buster and his father were arrested at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning by a pack of goons wearing vests and enough guns to hold Pensacola hostage. They were dragged half-dressed from their small home near the bay, lights flashing all over the place. The indictment was an inch thick, 160 pages, 81 counts of conspiracy to smuggle cocaine. He had a copy of it in his box. Buster and his dad were barely mentioned in the 160 pages, but they were nonetheless named as defendants and lumped together with the man they'd sold the boats to, along with 25 other people they'd never heard of. 11 were Colombians, 3 were lawyers. Everybody else was from South Florida. The U.S. attorney offered them a deal. 2 years each in return for guilty pleas and cooperation against the other co-defendants. Pleading guilty to what? They'd done nothing wrong. They knew exactly one of their 26 co-conspirators. They'd never seen cocaine. Buster's father remortgaged their home to raise $20,000 for a lawyer, and they made a bad selection. At the trial, they were alarmed to find themselves sitting at the same table with the Colombians and the real drug traffickers. They were on one side of the courtroom, all the co-conspirators sitting together as if they'd once been a well-oiled drug machine. On the other side, near the jury, were the government lawyers, groups of pompous little bastards in dark suits taking notes, glaring at them as if they were child molesters. The jury glared at them, too. During 7 weeks of trial, Buster and his father were practically ignored. 3 times their names were mentioned. The government's principal charge against them was that they had conspired to procure and rebuild fishing boats with souped-up engines to transport drugs from Mexico to various drop-offs along the Florida Panhandle. Their lawyer, who complained that he wasn't getting paid enough to handle a 7-week trial, proved ineffective at rebutting these loose charges. Still, the government lawyers did little damage and were much more concerned with nailing the Colombians. But they didn't have to prove much. They had done a superior job of picking the jury. After 8 days of deliberation, the jurors, obviously tired and frustrated, found every conspirator guilty of all charges. A month after they were sentenced, Buster's father killed himself. As the narrative wound down, the kid looked as if he might cry. But he stuck out his jaw, gritted his teeth, and said, "I did nothing wrong." He certainly wasn't the first inmate at Trumbull to declare his innocence. Beach watched and listened, and remembered a young man he'd sentenced once to 40 years for drug trafficking back in Texas. The defendant had a rotten childhood, no education, A long record as a juvenile offender. Not much of a chance in life. Beach had lectured him from the bench, high and lordly from above, and had felt good about himself for handing down such a brutal sentence. Gotta get these damn drug dealers off the streets.